Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud, Sanhedrin daf, the 10th page. So we were on the very bottom of Testament Beis. So let's start again from the issue of Palgina Dibura. Do we divide up a person's words? So we'll start four lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yosef, this is on page Testament Beis. Rav Yosef said, Ploni Rivao Leonso. Yaakov comes into court and Yaakov says, Reuven, who's another man, forcibly had intercourse with me, Yaakov, against my will. So who v'acher, so the victim, together with somebody else, Mitzdar from the Hargo, combined to be the two witnesses to be able to kill Reuven. However, if Yaakov says, Lirtzono, that Reuven had, you know, intercourse willingly with me, that Yaakov says he was willfully involved. So now, one second. That means Yaakov's a Rasha, that Yaakov himself is sinning. So Rasha huva Torah Amral Tashes Rasha 8. And now he can't serve as a witness because he's, based on his own words, he himself willfully did a terrible sin. So a wicked person can't serve as a witness. However, Rava Amar Rava said, Adam Karov Etzel Atzmo. In regards to himself, a person is a relative about himself. Ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. So a person's not believed to make himself wicked. So, as David pointed out yesterday, we divide up his words. When he says, Reuven had intercourse with Yaakov willfully, everyone was willful. He's believed when he says Reuven had intercourse with, but the words Yaakov himself, he's not believed about himself. So, he's not believed to render himself disqualified. But he is believed to establish for us that there was an act of intercourse.
One reason or two reasons? Because I don't carve last month. You're not allowed to be a name for a carve in general.
Right.
And then the other reason in last month in Russia, which is it? Same thing, different thing?
I think it's the same thing. Because he's a relative of himself, that's why he's not believed about making himself a Rasha, because a relative can't testify about a relative.
Can he be an aid to a Karov situation?
No, because he's a Karov, so since he can't...
In general, if you're a Karov, you can't be a aid, right?
Correct.
So it's
that's explaining what happens, right? That's because he's a relative about himself, he can't turn himself into a Rasha, because he can't testify about himself. So his testimony only has credibility about the other person, that the other person did the act, and therefore the other person can be put to death based on his words.
Part of it's relative.
Only example they can choose. They pick this example.
It's an example of a death penalty where we're accepting part of his words but rejecting others. We'll see. The Gemara is going to have another example soon.
Rabbi Korov is relative.
Yes. Yes.
So this is one of the biggest insults that I was reading in the book, because really we never see ourselves. We see just the mistake of the other guy.
It's also true.
And we forgive
ourselves,
right? Quick. To our friend,
that's true. That's true.
This is one of the biggest.
Very true, right? People, in general, are relatives about themselves. We don't see our own flaws. We see other people's flaws. Yeah. That's also true. Right, Amar Rava. Rava said, now starting today's daf, what happens if Yaakov comes in and says, Ploni Baal Ishti? He says, Reuven had marital relations with my wife. So he's saying that it happened willfully, that the wife was a willing participant, not that she was forced. So huva acher, so the husband with somebody else, mitzdarf and lahorgo, they can combine to be believed to kill, based on this testimony, the man who had marital relations with the woman. Avalo laharga, but in regards to her, she would not be killed based on this testimony. Because he cannot testify about his wife. So Gemara says, my kamashman, so what's the chiddush here? The mefalgina bidibura, that we divide up his words. On the one hand, he's believed. That's why his words are enough to convict the man who had the intercourse. But the rest of his sentence, who the man had the intercourse with, he's not believed about that, and the wife is not put to death. That we divide his words, hainuhach, it's the same as the first case, that if a victim comes in, not a victim, a man comes in and says he willfully had intercourse with another man, so that's believable about that other man, to make that other man guilty of the death penalty, but not believable about himself, to disqualify himself. So when it says answers the following, Ma'udetim would have thought to say, Adam karov etzal atzman minan. Maybe a person is not believed about himself, and we divide up his words when he's trying. When his words would have meant that his words would have incriminated himself. He's a relative to himself. He's not believed to incriminate himself. That we say. But etzal ishtolam minan. But with his wife, we would have thought not. And since he's believed in regards to the man having the affair with his wife, he's believed about his wife too. Kamash malan, that the same way a person is not believed to incriminate himself, he's not believed to incriminate his wife, but he is believed to incriminate the man who had the relations with his wife. So we divide up his words.
It's really the distinction I was talking about.
Why?
Between Karov and Aramas, they're willing to draw that distinction. If they can't testify, you would have thought that he can't testify himself, but he doesn't make himself a Rasha.
Mm-hmm.
But he can testify against his wife, who's a Karov.
Okay. So the point is that his wife is just the same as himself.
What do you mean by divide that way?
We're dividing up his words.
So you whatever he says, how about what happens if he's the only witness around?
Now there have to be two witnesses to put somebody to death.
No, but he doesn't want any witnesses to see his wife.
Then no one could be punished, because you have to have two witnesses.
So if he walks into the bedroom and she's there with another guy...
And that's it.
There is no punishment in that scenario.
Let's continue.
No, I don't.
So now the third scenario. Rava said, Ploni Baal Naram Orasa. Let's say witnesses come to court and they testify that Reuven had marital relations with a young lady, a 12-year-old, who was betrothed. So the Torah says normally that when there are relations with a Naram or Rasa, there should be stoning. But here, the witnesses didn't say the name of the girl. V'huzmu. Then the witnesses were turned into Edom Zomim, as we learned a couple of times. Edom Zomim is the Torah's chiddush, that the second set of witnesses are more accepted than the first set. The first set come and say, we saw a particular event at this and this time and this place. Now normally two against two, we just throw out both because we don't know. But the Torah said that if the second set comes in and says to the first set, you could not have testified about what you could not have seen what you claim you saw, because the day that you claim you were in Englewood and seeing this event, you were with us in Detroit, in Michigan. So what happens if witnesses come in and they say about Reuven, we saw him and we warned him in Englewood not to have, you know, marital relations with a Naram or Rasa, and he did it. And then, and they say, they warned him on Monday, August the 3rd, and then other witnesses come and say, hey, Monday, August the 3rd, you were with us in Michigan. It couldn't have been, v'huzmu. So now, Neharagin, these witnesses, the first set, who've been disproven, they get killed, because what they were trying to do was to kill Reuven. The ain mishalmin mamon, but they don't need to pay money. You might say, hey, they should be paying money because they're claiming that there was a willful act of intercourse by a married woman. If there would have been a willful act of intercourse by the married woman, she would have lost her ksuba, which would have gone to her father, because she's a young lady. She's not an adult yet. So let them pay money to the father that they're trying to cause him to lose the ksuba. But the answer is here, they were not trying to cause any father to lose the ksuba because they never identified the girl. So if their testimony never identified which person, so clearly they were not trying to cause a loss of money. They were just trying to cause a death. However, if the first set of witnesses come in and claim that Reuven has intercourse willfully with Bito Shel Ploni, with this, you know, a 12-year-old girl by the name of, Sarah, the daughter of Yaakov, Vuhuzmu, and then this set of witnesses becomes knocked out because other witnesses come and say, what you claim you saw on Monday couldn't have been because Monday you were with us in the following place. So Neheragin. So now these witnesses are going to be killed because they had been trying to cause Reuven to be killed. Umeshalman Mamon, plus they have to pay money to the father of Sarah. So you'll say, 1 second, normally we have a rule that Kimle B'dirabine, once a person gets a higher penalty, he doesn't get a lesser penalty. So once they're getting death, they shouldn't also have to pay. The answer is no. Mamon Lezet, the payment is to the father. Unifashos Lezet. Whereas the death is to somebody else. They were trying to cause the person who has relations with her to die. So for what they were trying to do to him, they have to sort of pay him with dying themselves. Now in regards to the money, they were trying to cause the father of the girl to lose money. So they need to pay the father of the girls. These are two different things. There's money to one and death to the other, so that's not considered kimle b'dirabba mine. Another halacha that Rava taught. V'amar Rava said the following. Ploni Rava Hashor. Let's say two witnesses come and say Reuven had intercourse, bestiality with an ox. They didn't say which ox, they just said with an ox. V'huzmu, they claimed it happened on Monday, August 3rd in Englewood, but now another set of witnesses come and say Monday, August 3rd, you weren't in Englewood. You were with us in Detroit all day. So Neheragin. So these witnesses get put to death because they were trying to cause a death. But they didn't have to pay any money because they didn't identify which ox. So since they didn't identify which ox, we can't say that they were trying to cause a loss of money. Because remember, an ox that is engaged in intercourse, the ox also dies. But we don't know which ox it was. So we don't know which person they were trying to cause a loss of money to. So there's no attempt at causing a loss of money. But if they come in and they say, Reuven had, an act of intercourse with Shoro Shoploni with the following ox, the ox that belongs to so-and-so, Vuhuzmu, and then they become disproven with witnesses who say that the day you claimed you saw the following event, you were with us somewhere else, Neheragin. So now the witnesses get put to death because they were trying to cause a death to a person. Umeshalman Mamon, plus they pay money to the owner of the ox. Why? Don't we normally say that when a person has two punishments, the more severe and the less severe is swallowed up by the more severe? Not here. Here we wouldn't say that. Because here we would say, Mamon Lezet, the money is to one person, the owner of the ox. Nefashos Lezet, whereas the death penalty is for somebody else, the person who had relations with, the person they were claiming had relations with the ox. So since it's two different parties, there can be two payments or two penalties. So 1 second, the Gemara asks, Hasu Lamali, but why do we need to have another case? Hainu Hap, that was exactly the same case you said before. You said the case of a man with an ox, and then you said the case, before that you said a case of witnesses who testify about a man with a Nara Ma'orasa. So both are cases where there's money involved, either the loss of Ksuba or the loss of the ox. And you said the same halacha. If the witnesses didn't identify the Naira Ma'oras or didn't identify the ox, then there's just a death penalty to them. And if they did identify the woman or identify the ox, so since the payment of money, either of the attempted loss of the ox, the attempted loss of the ksuba, to a different being than the person that they owe death to, so then there are two payments. There's the death plus there is the payment of money. So why do you have to say twice? So answer the Gemara, Mishum de Kabayi Baya Iluye, because on this second issue, there was a question. Bayi Rava, Rav asked the following question. Ploni Rava Shori Mahu. What happens if an owner of an ox comes in and says, Reuven had intercourse with my ox? So Mahu. What's the halacha? Mi aminon adam karav etzel atzmo. Do we say a person is a relative to himself, but ain't adam karav etzel amono? A person's not a relative to his ox. So he has full credibility. He has credibility both about what Reuven did and credibility that Reuven did it with the ox. So Reuven would be killed based on his words, and the ox would be killed based on his words. Oh, Dilmore, maybe we say Adam Karavetz on Mamono. The same way a person's not believed to incriminate himself, he's not believed to incriminate his ox. So he's believed that Reuven did it, but he's not believed about what Reuven did it with. So he's believed to kill Reuven, the same way if he'd be a willful participant himself, he'd be believed to kill Reuven, but he wouldn't be believed to incriminate himself and make himself unable to testify. So Vein Adam Karov, so Basa Debaya. So after he had this question, Hadar Pashti resolved it. Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo. A person maybe is a relative to himself and he can't incriminate himself, so therefore he can be believed about what somebody else did with him without it causing any damage to himself. But there's no such thing of being a relative to one's own money. And therefore, if he testified that Reuven had intercourse with his ox, yes, of course, he's believed to put Reuven to death. But he's believed fully. We would also put his ox to death for having had intercourse. He'd be fully believed. 1 second, Gabriel had a question.
Wasn't there a case where if someone lights up a pile of hay on Shabbos?
Correct.
Then he doesn't have to pay the damages to the owner of the hay.
That's right.
Because he violated Shabbos.
Right.
But why would it be different than here? In the sense that violating Shabbos is vis-a-vis Hashem, I guess, versus the owner of the hay.
So maybe that's an interesting question, but maybe you have to give that type of an answer. You have to say that there is this difference that when a person violates Shabbos and pays a penalty, it's all for Hashem, whereas paying the penalty is also for Hashem. Hashem's involved in everything. He's part of everything. But here, it's two different people. You know, there's one person that he's causing a loss of money to, and somebody else who he's trying to kill, and therefore he deserves to die.
Rabbi, the punishment for ox and Reuven, is it the same as Reuven and ox, or an ox and Reuven? Maybe the ox wanted to with Reuven.
It depends on what the witnesses saw, but yeah, it's the same punishment.
The same punishment.
Yeah.
So in this case, the relative can incriminate and cause death penalty to his own relative because he has a loss of the ox, because he has monetary loss.
Why is he causing a loss to a relative? He's not causing a loss to a relative.
He's causing him to die. He's going to get.
But it's the ox that will die. It's his ox and some foreigner.
Oh, it's not a relative.
No. He's believed fully about the other person, the way he'd be believed about the other person, even if he was a willful participant, and he's believed about his own ox.
So a relative can never incriminate another relative, even if he has personally monetary...
Yeah, that's not... That wasn't brought up. Yeah, it's not the issue. Yeah?
Days of Amin. Let's assume that we can have two cases. One case that it makes sense that the husband asking them to be Zomamim, if it is one.
Right.
But two, they just hate this woman, that's assumed for any kind of reason.
Okay.
So I can see them Zomamim when they had the woman, but if the husband was the man that brought them the bezel in him, and he's ending just with paying 100, whatever.
Right.
How is this could be? He is the car. He's the.
No, but we always say that the person who does the sin has responsibility. Ain't shliach l'dvar avera. There's no thing. You can't give responsibility elsewhere.
Okay.
It's up to them. Going back to the Mishnah spoke about different cases that require 3 judges, different cases that require 23. The Mishnah quotes, there's an argument about lashes. Makos b'shlosha, the sages say lashes are dealt with by 3 judges, or Bishmel said 23 judges. Minani Mili, how do we know this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Ravuna. Ravuna answered, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ki Yeriv Bein Anashim, So the Torah says, Ushvatum, and they will judge them. Ushvatum. So that means, Ushvatum is plural tense, Shnai. That means two do the judging. Ein Bezdin Shakel. So you can't have a court of two, you can't have an even court. So that means you have to add another one, your total of 3. Hare kan shlosha. So Gemara, one second. If you're quoting these psukim in Devarim, El Mayat, but in those psukim, the verses also say, Vihitztiku, and they will acquit. So that should be another shnaim, another 2. Then it says, Vihir shiyu, and they will convict. That should be another shnaim. Hare kan shiva. Then say they can't have an even number of 6. You should end up with 7. Gemara says, no, those added words are needed for something else. Harumi boilek to the ula, those words, itztiku, and hirshiu are needed for the lesson of ula. So Amar ula said, remez leidim zomim minat Torah minayin. What's a verse in the Torah that hints to the idea that the second set of witnesses that places the first set of witnesses elsewhere is believed? Gemara says, what? Remez leidim zomim, a hint for the idea of a second set of witnesses? The pasuk says it explicitly. Kasher zamam, the way the first witness plotted to do, that's what will be done to him. Ela remez, what's the hint? Leidim zomim to a situation when a set of witnesses are disproven. Shalokin, that sometimes instead of getting what they wanted to do, they get lashes. For example, let's say 2 witnesses come and say Reuven, who's known as the Kohen, is really the son of a divorced woman. He's a ben grusha. So then, if it turns out that they're Edom Zomim, they would get lashes. So what's the source for that? So answer the Gemara, Minayin. That's these verses. The Chsiv, it says in regards to lashes, V'yitztiku asatzadik, they will make acquitted the righteous one, V'yirshiu asarasha, and they will convict the guilty one. What do you mean? Mishum di'yitztiku asatzadik, V'yirshiu asarasha, if they're making innocent the innocent, and making guilty the guilty. V'hayam bin akosa rasha, so then there is lashes. Why would there be lashes to the innocent? Elas, rather, how do you read the verses like this? Edim shir shir set tzadik. First, there were witnesses who came and wrongfully made guilty a righteous man, because they're false witnesses. Vasu ediach, we need that another set of witnesses come, v'itztikwa set tzadik, and they disqualify them and thereby make innocent the tzadik to make kara. So they make this first set of witnesses into wicked ones. And the Torah is saying, V'hayan bin akosa rasha. So then you have to sometimes hit this first set of witnesses. Ask the Gemara, why do I need these words to teach me that there's lashes for Edom Zomim? Tepeklemi lo sa nebri achayit shaker. Just derive it from the verse in the Ten Commandments, don't be a false witness. So whenever you have a prohibition, and someone violates a prohibition, the punishment is lashes. Why do I need to have a whole other set of sentences about this? Answer the Gemara, Mishum Dehavalei Lav Shein Bo Maisa. The prohibition of don't be a false witness is not an act. It's saying don't say words. Words are not an act. And Hol Lav Shein Bo Maisa in Lokan Alav. There is never lashes for a prohibition that doesn't have an act. And therefore, we needed other sentences to teach us that even though there's no action, it's just words in regards to false testimony, sometimes false testimony gets lashes.
What is words and action?
No, that's a big difference. In halacha, an action is physical with your hands or with your feet, but just mouthing words is not considered an act.
And if it's a witness, he has to talk.
That's right, but talking is not an action.
An action.
No, talking is not an action.
What is it then?
It's words. Words is not an action.
So you can't sue for like defamation of character.
We just had this whole thing. No.
Motzi Shemer is not an action.
Motzi Shemer will be killed, but then we... Oh, no, he just pays.
He pays, but it's not an action. It's not a maisa.
The word creates action, doesn't it?
Doesn't, no, not necessarily. Words are something less.
Looking inside a riot, we scream fire and...
The beginning of the Masechet.
There could be grama. It's just an indirect cause. They chose to do what they did. So again, the Mishnah has an argument. According to the Chachamim, lashes requires 3 judges. Rabbi Shmuel said 23. My time to Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reasoning why Rabbi Shmuel says lashes need 23? So first proposal. Amar Abaye said, Asya Rasha, Rasha Mechaive Misos. It's because the same word appears in 2 contexts. Ksevachat says over here in regards to lashes, Vayayim Binakosa Rasha, it will be if the wicked person needs to be hit, so it calls him Rasha. Sevasim, it says over there about a man deserving of death, Asher hu Rasha Lamus. He's a Rasha, he deserves to die. So now, whenever it's a matter of life and death, Malahal and Besim Mishlosha, there it's 23. Safkan Besim Mishlosha, so here too it's 23. Rav Amar said another reason why lashes needs 23. Malchus b'mako miso medes. Lashes takes the place of death. In other words, according to Rava, if Hashem said not to do something, and a person does it, that person deserves to die, because he violated God's word. Now Hashem said, even though he deserves to die, he's going to be hit. But basically that means that the hitting is a form of him dying. He deserves to die. So therefore, since hitting is what should have been given to a man who should have died, therefore it needs 23, like all matters of death need 23. Rav Acha b'Rei Rava l'Rav Ashi. Rav Acha said, the son of Rava said to Rav Ashi, let's go through some of the laws of lashes. We're going to learn in Masechta Makos that the court has to assess the person, how many lashes can he take. The Torah says give him 39, but if you can only take 15, they only give him, let's say, 12 or whatever. So why should we make an assessment? Limchaya, let's beat him the 39 lashes, he mice, and if he dies, lemos, great that he dies. So, because he deserves to die. Amar le, so he said to him, Amar Kro, the pasuk says, V'nikla achicha le'einecha, and your brother is to be hit in front of your eyes, he has to be your brother. If he dies in the middle, he's no longer your brother. Ki machis, when you're hitting, agava dechaya machis, you have to be hitting on the back of someone who's alive. Because otherwise he's not a brother. So Gemara says, really, if you're going to say again that lashes is basically that he deserves death, but he's getting lashes because it could even kill him, it's fine, he deserves it. Ella, the Tanya, then this we learned in a braisa, du l'kabel esrim, if the court assesses that this man can take 20 blows, ain makino, so we're not going to give him 20 blows. Ella makos haruyos l'ishtalish. We know that the lashes would be 1 in front and 2 in the back. So it's really like a triad of lashes. So he deserves 20 blows. He can take 20 blows, but we're not going to give him 20 because that would be an odd number. So we're going to give him 18. So it'll be 6 times 3. Right. So 3 times in the front. I'm sorry, 6 times in the front 12 and 12 times in the back. V'kamein tam nisui. That's a total of 18. So 1 second. If basically whenever a person deserves lashes, he deserves death, l'mchai esim v'chad, give him 21 times. And when he dies, he's going to die the 21st time. And who cares? When you were hitting him, he was alive. It was achicha. And the 21st time, he deserved to die. So he said back to him, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, your brother will be shamed and beaten in front of your eyes. That means achar shalaka, even after he's hit. Achicha ba'ina, he still has to be a brother. Veleka, and that we don't have if he drops dead. Therefore, the lashes are going to be only 18.
Rabbi, what is the lashes made out of? Leather? What is that?
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll see. Yeah, it's a ritzua, strap.
I want to try it on you, Baruch. So you understand that exactly what it is.
Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur.
Oh, yeah, Habibi. Yeah, Habibi.
Shulchan Aruch says.
We all get a try.
Ibur HaChodesh B'Shlosha. The Mishnah says we would expand a month to make it 30 days. So those discussions are done by 3 judges. So the Gemara points out, Chishuv lo katani. It didn't say calculating whether we should expand the month. Kiddush lo katani. It didn't say that we need three judges to accept the witnesses to sanctify the Rosh Chodesh. Ela Ibur, it said to expand the month, to add a 30th day. I understand. Lo likdusha, ask the Gemara. Let's not sanctify the 30th day. Umamelo la'aber, then automatically the 30th day is going to become part of the month. So Amar Abaye, Abaye said, I got to change what it says in the Mishnah. Tani, read it as Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctification of the month, namely the acceptance of witnesses that they saw the new moon, and that today is Rosh Chodesh, has to be with three. Tani Amiyaki, that's also the way we learned in a Braisa, Kiddush HaChodesh, accepting witnesses and sanctifying Rosh Chodesh, or Ibur Hashana, or calculating to add another month to a year, Bishlosha. That is done by three judges, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Amar Rava, Rava didn't like this explanation of Abaye. For Ibur Katani, but the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah didn't say the sanctification of the month is three judges. The Mishnah said the expansion of the month is three judges. Ela Amar Rava. So therefore, Rava read the Mishnah like this. Kiddush b'yom Ibur b'shlosha. If we want to sanctify the month on the day that would have been 30th day, that would have expanded the month, namely we want to make the month a 29-day month because we want to start the next month on day 30, that has to be with three. And then the point of the Mishnah is that Achar Ibur, but if you're past that 30th day, Lekha Kiddush. So on day 31, there's no need to say that day 31 is Rosh Chodesh because it has to be Rosh Chodesh. The month can't go 31 days. So money, who is that? That's Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadoki. The Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok. The Tanya is linked in a Brice in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Imlo Nira Bizmano. If the moon does not appear on day 30, Ein Mekachinosav. So day 30 came and went, and it was still part of the last month. Day 31, there's no need to say day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, because of course it's Rosh Chodesh. It can't be anything else. Shekfar Kitchu B'Shamayim, because in heaven they already made it holy. That's one explanation of the Mishnah. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman said, the way to read the Mishnah is Kiddush Achar Ibur Bishlosha. That if the court are sanctifying the 31st day, then you need three judges. Yom Ibur, if they're sanctifying the 30th day, Lekha Kiddush, then there's no need for three judges. There's no need even for them to sanctify. Umani Plimohi. This is the view of Plimo. The Tanya lived in a rise of Plimo Omer. Plimo is of the opinion, Bizmano, if we're making the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, Ein Mekachino, so there's no need for the court to make the declaration to say it's holy. It's holy automatically. Shalom Bizmano. It's only when the court is saying that day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, Mekachin Oso. Then the court has to sanctify it. And now another explanation. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi said, Le'olam Chishuv Katani. Really, when the Mishnah talks about expanding the month, it's talking about calculating the expansion of the month. Umay Ibur, what does it mean? Expansion. Chishuv the Ibur. Calculating whether or not we should expand it. I did the Kabbalah Lemisni Ibur Shana. So since we're going to talk about the fact that we have to make a calculation whether we should add a month to expand the year, so we're saying that has to be done in front of three. Tananami Ibur Chodesh. That's why it says also the expansion of the month. But what it means is the calculation of the expansion. So what we're saying is like this. Chishuv Chodesh in. To calculate whether we should expand the month and make it 30 days, that we need three judges. But if witnesses show up, then to accept their testimony and sanctify the month, we don't need the court to sanctify the month. Mani, this is the view of Rabbi Lezer, the time of Rabbi Lezer, Omer, Bein Bizmano, Bein Shalom Bizmano, Ein Mekachin Oso. Both when the witnesses come on day 30 or when they come on day 31, there's no need for the court to sanctify the month. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "V'kidashtem eshnasa chamishim shana," and you shall sanctify the 50th year. Shana matzah makadesh. The court needs to sanctify the 50th year. V'yetzah makadesh chadashim. But the court does not need to sanctify months. That's the view of Rav Ashi. So you have to make a calculation. That's done by three judges. But the actual sanctification, Midah Oraisa, doesn't need three judges, and even if it needs a Midah Rabbanan, the Mishnah is not talking about the Rabbanan obligations.
So which one of these needs 71 judges, or 20, you know, 20...
The calendar is three judges.
Calendar is three judges?
Yeah.
Is it a national thing there? So,
okay. So it's three judges from the 71, but it's just three of them.
And according to the opinion that says Rosh Chodesh doesn't need judges, is that so the witnesses just come in front of anyone is the point?
No, the witnesses come, they testify apparently, and then that's enough. Once they testify, we don't need the judges.
They testify in front of someone, right?
Maybe they testify in front of one judge even.
Okay.
Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabban Shimon says, B'shlosha matchilim, they would begin the discussion of expanding the year with three judges. Then they'd have five to go back and forth and end with seven. What did Reb Shimon Gamliel mean? He means like this. B'shloshim atchilim with three, they open the question. Chamisha nosim v'notim. With five, they go back and forth. V'gomer, they conclude with seven. In other words, Echad, if one of the first three, Omer Leishiv, says, yeah, we should discuss this question. Ushnaim Omer, but two say, no, that we certainly don't add a month this year. Shalom Leishev, then Batal Yachib Miyuto. Then they don't open up the discussion. Shnaim Omrim Leishev, if two judges say, let's discuss the question, maybe this month, we think this year might need a month. Echad Omer Shalom Leishev, one says he doesn't want to open up the discussion, so we don't listen to him. Then we open the discussion, and Mosif and Lemot Shnaim, we add another two. Nosnim and Nosnim Badavar, we go back and forth. Shnaim Omrim Tzricha, if two say that it does need an added month as a conclusion. Shlosh Omrim Eina Tzricha, three say it doesn't need an added month. But we don't add the month. Yeah. But if shlosh omrim tzricha, if three say they need the month, ushnaim omrim eina tzricha, and two say that we don't need a month, then mosifim leim od shnaim, we add another two, and then we conclude she'ein aminyan pachos mishiva, because the final vote has to be with seven. Hadi shlosh chamisha v'shiva keneged mi. Why do we have these numbers of three, five, and seven? Pligi bar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani v'chadi imei. There was an argument between Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani and one of his contemporaries. Who's that? Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Some say it's Rav Shimon ben Pazi with one of his contemporaries. Who's that? Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani. Chad Amar Keneged Birchas Kohanim. One said it's to correspond to the three verses of Birchas Kohanim. One pasuk has three words. One has five. One has seven. The Chad Amar. One said it's from the Psukim in Megillas Esther. Shlosha Keneged Shomrei Asaf. Three who are the close personal guards. Chamisha, five. Meirui Pnei HaMelech. Are the prominent ones who see the king, who's his advisors, and Shiva, seven are the total advisors, or Roe, Pnei HaMelech, Tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef taught, Hani Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva, Shlosha Keneged Shomrei Asaf, Chamisha Mei Roe Pnei HaMelech, Shiva Roe Pnei HaMelech, Amle Abai Lui Rav Yosef, Abai said to Rav Yosef, Adi Idna Mai Tamilo Prishna Lon Mar Hachi, why didn't you tell us this till now? Amalui told them, Lo Avi Yodana Ditzvichta, I didn't know that you needed this question. Did you ever ask me something that I did not answer?